Let us now turn to the scriptures. Our scripture reading today is taken from 1 Samuel chapters 9 to 15, and I will be reading from select verses from the passage. May God bless us in the reading of his word. Saul, an impressive young man, without equal among the Israelites, a head taller than any of the others. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, "Has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance?" Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Because you, Saul, have rejected the word of the Lord, he, God, has rejected you as king. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Today we are blessed to have Reverend John speak to us from the passages we have just read. And may God prepare our hearts to receive his word spoken through his servant. Reverend John, please.
Okay, my test. Okay. Good afternoon, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Today and the following Sunday, we will be looking at two Israelite kings, namely King Saul and King David, respectively. Before I begin, let's commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you today as we look into the scriptures, as we hear your word. Lord, we ask that God, your spirit in us, will take that word and shape us and convict our hearts to respond to you in faithful obedience, to do what pleases you from a heart that is surrendered to you. So, God, touch us with your tender loving kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, can I have my first slide, please? Thank you. This is the title of my sermon. And King Saul, a man after his own heart, looking at passages over a few chapters in 1 Samuel, actually. Namely 8 to 31. Some of you may have heard of Ravi Zacharias. How many of you have heard of him? Okay, quite a number. For many years, he was one of the most gifted Christian apologists of our time. God used his ministry to influence countless lives. He spoke in universities, addressed world leaders, and defended the Christian faith with brilliance. Many considered him a champion of truth. But after his passing in 2020, painful revelations came to light. Reports of hidden sin and serious moral failures, was reported in the media. For those who admired his ministry, it was devastating. His reputation crumbled, his legacy was stained, and many were left disillusioned. Why do I begin here? Not to smear his name, but to remind us all of a sobering truth. It is possible to be gifted, anointed, and used by God, and yet fall from grace if one's heart is drifting away from God. This is not a new story, unfortunately. In fact, the Bible gives us a powerful example in the life of Israel's first king, King Saul. Saul started with great promise. He was chosen, anointed, and even empowered by the Spirit of God. Yet, like Ravi Zacharias, his downfall came not because of lack of opportunity, but because of disobedience and a heart that is centered on self. So today, as we open the scriptures, we will learn from the tragedy of Saul and be reminded that what God desires most is not outward success, but a heart that is faithful and obedient to Him. God desires most of us is not outward success, but a heart that is faithful and obedient to Him. When we first meet Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 9, he is tall, handsome, and from a respected family. God Himself chooses him to be Israel's first king. The Spirit of God comes upon him. He wins early victories. People rally to him. But as we read his story, we see a slow, tragic spiral from God's chosen leader to a broken man who ends his life on the battlefield. Today, I want us to walk through Saul's life and learn four lessons that will help us, that will spur us on to be faithful, to be obedient, and to finish well. I will read several passages from 1 Samuel to provide the context, and I also don't want to assume that everyone here is familiar with the story of King Saul. So be patient with me and lend me your ears. The elders of Israel and the Israelite asked the prophet Samuel to appoint a king to lead them, such as all the other nations have. And God tells Samuel to listen to them and give them a king. Let's begin with chapter 10. Samuel had all the tribes of Israel come forward, and the tribe of Benjamin was selected. Then he had the tribe of Benjamin come forward by its clans, and the Matrite clan was selected. Finally, Saul, son of Kish, was selected, but when they searched for him, they could not find him. They again inquired of the Lord, "Has the man come here yet?" The Lord replied, "There he is, hidden among the supplies." They ran and got him from there. When he stood among the people, he stood a head taller than anyone else. Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see the one the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among the entire population." Saul also went to his home in Gibeah, and brave men whose heart God had touched went with him. But some wicked men said, "How can this guy save us?" They despised him and did not bring him a gift. But Saul said nothing. When Saul is introduced, he is impressive and captivating. Scripture says he was a head taller than anyone else. He isn't just physically strong, He is humble. He doesn't love the limelight. When Samuel announces him as king, Saul actually hid among the supplies. And he kept silent when some troublemakers questioned his ability as king. And in chapter 11, we see Saul leading Israel to a great victory against the Ammonites through God's empowering. Chapter 11, verse 11. The next day, Saul organized the troops into three divisions. During the morning watch, they invaded the Ammonite camp and slaughtered them until the heat of the day. Afterward, the people said to Samuel, "Who said that Saul should not reign over us? Give us those men so we can kill them." But Saul ordered, "No one will be executed this day, for today the Lord has provided deliverance in Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal so we can renew the kingship there." So all the people went to Gilgal, and there in the Lord's presence, they made Saul king. Lesson number one. Gifts, abilities, strength, and opportunities are blessings from God, but they don't guarantee spiritual success. In fact, there is a potential danger of falling from grace. Saul really starts well. He's unassuming. He doesn't impose himself on others, despite his good appearance. Has the approval and support of the people, shows leadership, and is chosen by God. Saul is like a brand new car with the latest engine and technology. Sadly, the petrol in the tank is of poor quality. And we shall now move on to look at Saul's heart. 1 Samuel chapter 13. The Philistines also gathered to fight against Israel. The men of Israel saw that they were in trouble because the troops were in a difficult situation. Saul, however, was still at Gilgal, and all his troops were gripped with fear. He waited 7 days for the appointed time that Samuel had set, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the troops were deserting him. So Saul said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings." Then he offered the burnt offering. Just as he finished offering the burnt offering, Samuel arrived. So Saul went out to greet him, and Samuel asked, "What have you done?" "You have done a foolish thing," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." Saul is under pressure. The Philistines are gathering. His men are scattering, and Samuel is late. Instead of waiting for God's prophet, Saul takes matters into his own hands and offers the sacrifice despite knowing it is an act of disobedience. Samuel's verdict is devastating. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Now your kingdom will not endure." And it goes, and Samuel goes from bad to worse. Saul. He goes from bad to worse. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel told Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people Israel. Now listen to the words of the Lord. This is what the Lord of hosts says. I witnessed what the Amalekites did to the Israelites when they opposed them along the way as they were coming out of Egypt. Now go and attack the Amalekites and completely destroy everything they have. Then Saul struck down the Amalekites from Haliva all the way to Shur, which is next to Egypt. He captured Agag, king of Amalek, alive, but he completely destroyed all the rest of the people with the sword. Saul and his troops spared Agag and the best of the sheep, cattle, and choice animals, as well as the young rams and the best of everything else. They were not willing to destroy them, but they did destroy all the worthless and unwanted things. God commands Saul to completely destroy the Amalekites and their possessions. But Saul spares King Agag and the best sheep and cattle. When Samuel asked Saul why he did not obey God, Saul replied, "But I did obey the Lord. I went on the mission the Lord gave me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek, and I completely destroyed the Amalekites. The troops took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was set apart for destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal." Lesson number two. There is no justification for disobedience or partial disobedience to God's command. Let me give two examples. It is not acceptable to say, "I divorced my spouse because my spouse could not offer me happiness. I married a non-Christian with the intent to bring my spouse to faith after the marriage." Saul gives a spiritual sounding excuse for his disobedience. He thinks sacrifice covers disobedience. It doesn't. He was badly mistaken. Samuel's famous words cut through Saul's pretense. "To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." We are only deceiving ourselves, and worse still, rendering God a fool if we think that our acts of worship or service can make God close an eye to our disobedience. We can never justify our ungodly behavior by our Christian service. Saul not only goes from bad to worse, he goes overboard. 1 Samuel chapter 28. "The Philistines came together and camped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel, and they camped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine camp, he was afraid and trembled violently. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him in dreams or by the Urim or by the prophets. Saul then said to his servants, 'Find me a woman who is a medium so I can go and consult her.'" Because of Saul's disobedience, God eventually ceased to speak to him. Instead of acknowledging his sins and repenting, Saul turns to a medium at Endor for guidance, which is an outright violation of God's written commandment found in Leviticus chapter 19. Do not turn to mediums or consult spirits, or you will be defiled by them. I am Yahweh, your God. And later in chapter 20, whoever turns to mediums or spiritists and prostitutes himself with them, I will turn against that person and cut him off from his people. Lesson number 3. If you keep walking the path of disobedience to God, He will allow you to go your own way. The book of Romans, chapter 1, points to this. 3 times in chapter 1. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God delivered them over in the cravings of their hearts to sexual impurity. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve something created instead of the Creator. This is why God delivered them over to degrading passions. And because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a worthless mind to do what is morally wrong. Dear people of God, if you refuse and persistently follow your own heart, don't be shocked that God hides his face and turns his ear away from you. Certainly, this is not the place you want yourself to be in. The final lesson before I conclude. There are serious consequences to disobedience, and you cannot choose which ones to bear. You have no choice over the consequences that comes with disobedience. Saul suffers God's rejection as king. 3 times mentioned in chapter 15. And is rendered God's enemy. God considered him an enemy, his enemy. In chapter 28, Saul and his sons die on Mount Gibeah in battle with the Philistines, putting an end to his kingdom as foretold by the prophet Samuel. Once in chapter 13 and once in chapter 15. King Saul's life is summed up in 1 Chronicles, chapter 10. Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance and did not inquire of the Lord. So the Lord put him to death and turn the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. In our journey on this earth, I believe there are times when, you know, circumstances, you know, render us desperate. We want quick solutions. We want pressing matters to be resolved so that, you know, we don't suffer stress, you know. And often, you know, the temptation is to take matters into our own hands. And put God at the peripheral, or even, you know, not having him in our minds and in our hearts. The temptation is great, but let's not fall for it, because there are consequences to bear. You know, we sing of who God is, right? We read in the Bible about who God is. It is great, it is awesome, He's sovereign, He can do more than what we can think or imagine. He loves us and He's faithful, and we know all these things. But what is our response when the rubber meets the road, when we are tested? And God will test us, because just uttering these things or knowing these things, this truth, is not good enough. God wants to reveal exactly what is in our hearts. Not that He doesn't know so that He tests us. It's for our sake that God tests us, to reveal what is really the condition of our hearts. Is it the self that is king, or is it God that is king? If we believe that God is real, the God of the Bible is real, even though we can't see Him with our eyes, and God knows sometimes it's really tough, you know, to believe in Him where we can't see Him, smell Him, touch Him. But God wants us, He's willing for us to encounter Him, real and powerful, so that our faith will be enlarged, our love for Him will deepen. And it hinges on those times when He tests us, what is our response? Are we willing to take that step forward to trust Him in times of desperation? Don't be impatient. Don't take matters into your own hands. Pray. Trust Him. In the coming months, or likely will be next year, one thing I hope to do is to get some of you to share your faith stories. So don't run away when I come to you. Because it will be a blessing to the community, right? We talk about bridging the gap, right? I believe the youths, the young adults, the seniors have faith stories to share, right? To remind us that, yeah, God is real, you know? Be encouraged, not be fearful, don't be anxious. So, be prepared. In conclusion, My brothers and sisters in Christ, Saul's story is not just history. It is not just about how a king failed. It's about the danger of following one's own heart. A crown without a heart after God leads to ruin. It is not how high you rise, but how faithful and obedient you are toward God that matters in the end. You can be called, gifted, anointed, but if you follow your own heart instead of God's, you will eat the fruit of your disobedience. So take heed. You can begin well and still finish badly if you don't keep your heart right before God. Success in man's eyes, no matter how great it is, doesn't count in the kingdom of God. God desires most of us is not outward success, the applause we receive from men or the accolades, but a heart that is faithful and obedient to Him. Is there light for us? You know, the message sounds so, you know, gloomy and, you know. I am imperfect. All of us here are imperfect, you know. So is there light and hope for us as followers of Christ? People who are still work in progress, right? If we are not to follow King Saul's footstep, then who should we follow? You will find out next week, next Sunday. Now I'll hand the time over to the worship team.